And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Look, armpits talking about the new NHL team.
Well, he's buddies with Ryan Smith. You're talking Pat McAfee on ESPN.
Armpit McAfee, yep.
They are showing clips of the Delta Center makeover, which is obviously from a Frozen Fury clip in the past, but they are showing how that's going to be made over, and you can already see some of the issues with the Delta Center, which is they have to back up those stands all the way backed up flat, and then you can't use it, which is why they're going to have, 14,000 seats, Gary Bettman said yesterday in an interview.
Which is fine.
Oh, I mean, compared to 5,000?
Yeah, which is fine.
Hey, Ryan, can I give you one thing, though? Quit selling all the season tickets, dude. I want to go to the game.
Yeah, he's been keeping a running tally, no?
He was over 11,000.
What are we up to?
Well, there's only 14,000 seats available. If you've got 11,000 deposits as of last night, which I'm sure has grown already, I know not everyone's going to deliver on that $100 deposit, but leave some for the rest of us.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's great.
Look,
no,
the idea
it's
that it
great.
Wouldn't ever succeed here or that there's any chance that fans wouldn't back it is asinine. Leave some general admission.
I come back.
Let us buy tickets at the door.
I come back to the line from Major League. If I could get anybody to watch this team, none of this would be necessary. It is very important that the new franchise is supported. Just like it was very important that Real was supported at the beginning. I covered the first game, the first RSL game, Ben, and I kind of thought it was a pretty cool thing. In retrospect, I really think it's a cool thing that I was there at Rice-Eccles Stadium, of all places. That day. And I was thinking just this morning, Ben, I got to figure out a way to get my family to the first game. I got to figure out a way to get us there. It's a cool thing. Take some pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's probably going to cost me 20 grand to get there for the first game apparently, but yeah. I got to get my crew there.
First thought.
It's a history thing. You know what I mean?
I'm going to have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old at the time. It's like, yeah, I want them to be there.
Yeah.
I want them to be at the game, and it's going to be hard to do because everyone's going to want that. And if I want that, everyone's going to want it.
And RSL was really well supported off the bat. Now they had to do some winning, and they had moved stadiums, and they had to put in the work, so to speak. But it was important that they were supported off the bat, and they were, because this is when you've got your most juice, and it's really, you can take advantage of it or you don't, you know. I don't want to go down the road of failed franchises, but most expansion teams, Ben, are supported extraordinarily well for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And then the franchise has to go out and do something, but you got to capitalize on that bounce and keep it going. Best example, instead of negative examples, I'll go with the best example, the Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they had a lot of juice coming out of the gate. And they've been well run, and they've won.
Well, we're going to talk to Elliot Friedman, who's, you know, in the, to make a comp, if you don't know him, the Woj Shams conversation for NHL Insiders. He's a big deal. We're going to talk to him coming up at 11 o'clock.
It's amazing. He was banging down our door to come on our show. I mean, it's really a compliment.
Salt Lake's the epicenter.
He was, Ben, I don't know how he got your number, but all of a sudden he's like, oh, I know the show to come on.
I told him to call me back. I said, I'm on the phone with Gary Bettman. You're gonna have to call back, Elliot.
Online too. No, that's not how it happened. But he's a really big deal. So we're really we're excited to have him on.
And I want to ask him that. What has made successful expansion franchise work, and what has made them not work? Outside of you know, the Rangers are going to be fine, the Kings are going to be fine, the Maple Leafs are going to be fine. Like, if you're in a major metropolis, you're going to be fine. What happens otherwise with some of these teams?
I don't know about you, Ben. Maybe I'm getting swept up in it because I got a lot to learn, but I kind of feel like the debate between which would have been better, an expansion or saving the Utes. And they're bringing a pretty good young team. I know they don't have a defenseman on the team, which might be an issue. But, like, it seems like they've got some good players to bring into town. I don't know what – I'd be curious. Maybe we can ask Elliot this. Like, how – because in the NBA, if you're an expansion team, Ben, having been in Charlotte – for the expansion, and if you can think about Miami and Vancouver and who else? Toronto. Am I missing anybody else in recent memory? Charlotte again?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get much.
No, it's a disaster.
You're not going to get much. You'll figure out a way to get a good player, and that's more likely trade because you come in with some assets and you move them around and you get a good player. But you also get, like, half your roster is going to be, you know, not NBA guys or borderline. What were borderline NBA guys? It's just how it works. I don't know if that's how it works in hockey. Because the Golden Knights won. They won like year one and then Stanley Cup finals year two? Or was it finals year one and then?
Made the finals year one.
And then got over the hump.
Took a step back and then.
Year three?
They won it last year, right?
Right. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, that's hitting the ground running.
We're going to have four household names coming at least with the Coyotes.
Which seems like an advantage to me. But if you're allowed to draft, you know, if you're allowed to snatch all these good players from other teams and you can hit the ground running expansion-wise, I don't know.
No, you've skipped.
I don't know what to compare it to.
You've skipped 5 years, right?
So,
you've skipped 5 years of draft picks and trying to get these young kids in. Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, Josh Doan, Dylan Gunther. Those are the four names everyone's going to know. Now, that's because they don't have any defensemen signed, as you mentioned. And you're going to know Connor Ingram, the goalie. Like, you're going to know the guys. But those are the four kids that are 25 and under that are the faces of the franchises, the face of the franchise. They're going to be good. They are good. And they're all young and coming up. I mean, this is.
There's another couple in Tucson, too, right? Like,
yes.
Another three draft picks in Tucson?
Yes.
Right?
And then they have another top 10 pick this year. Which, in all honesty, I need to learn this. How quickly will you see a top 10 draft pick? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 1 year? I don't know.
I've been trying to look. So, Ben, this is a good place to start, I think. I've been trying to study up on the, you know, I like the minutia, the mm-hmm. game behind the game. And I've been trying to kind of study up on that stuff, the differences, similarities to other leagues that I'm more familiar with. But from what I can tell, unless you're, and DJ and PK had a guest talking about this morning, unless you're like the LeBron of hockey, you're probably going to be, meaning like the obvious number one pick, generational player, already super skilled, grown mm-hmm. larger than your normal 18-year-old, like those sorts of things that you're looking at 2 to 4 years.
Okay.
For a first round pick. Which I think is really interesting because I actually think, and maybe I'll start off with this hot take, Ben. I think the way the NHL is set up is more to Utah's advantage than the NBA. I mean, hard cap alone.
Yes, yeah, like, absolutely.
Hard cap alone is a huge advantage for small markets. And from a financial standpoint, where it costs the Jazz way more to go in the luxury tax than it does the Lakers. Because the Jazz bottom line is way lower. I mean, that's way more expensive than the Knicks can go in the luxury tax all they want. It doesn't matter. They're still selling out that arena at how many thousands of dollars a ticket every single night? I mean, they've got this lucrative TV deal that is just unbelievable.
Yeah. What you get from sharing an arena with Madison Square Garden or Crypto Arena or was it the Chase Center where the Warriors play is totally different than the Delta Center. Just different. It just is.
And when you're drafted into the NHL, unlike the NBA, you're basically with that franchise till you're like 27. Your rights, so to speak. I mean, like, you're basically in one place to develop unless they trade you. So thus, player movement is not as much of a thing, not even close to as much of a thing in the NHL as it is the NBA. Not to mention the longest term contract you can sign in the NHL, Ben, 8 years.
Oh, it's a lifetime.
So, you know, you think you get somebody on their initial deal, you extend them in their mid-20s. I mean, they're staying with the same team until their, you know, early 30s at the earliest. So I think that really plays into the advantage of, like, investing in player development has been something that the Jazz have had to do a lot, particularly recently. And if they can copy some of those resources into a player development model in hockey, you're much more set up to develop and keep your players.
One of the interesting things along those lines is that the Roadrunners, who are the AHL affiliate, the step right below the NHL, is still owned by Morello, who used to own the Coyotes. That was not a part of the purchase. So he's keeping them in Arizona. In fact, would you believe it? He's trying to relocate them. It seems like this guy's deal is always like, I've got an ace up my sleeve. I'm going to move the team.
Dude, I'm telling you what, that's a super smart move. I actually wondered about that with Ryan. Minor league hockey, or minor league anything, is difficult to run.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to, you know, share some of that burden.
Yeah.
And I know Major League Baseball did a big shakeup to how they pay minor league players. Because, like, for example, and I don't even know the new deal, Ben, but, like, the Bees are owned by the Millers. The Bees aren't on the hook for all of their players' salaries, but they're on the hook for some.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how that works, but if I didn't have to buy a minor league team, I don't think I would. Let that be Morello's problem. Unless he's, like, poisoning your prospects in the locker room or something. Like, I wouldn't worry about that.
I have to say, I just woke up feeling the gravity of this hockey team coming. It just feels like a huge deal. Because it is a huge deal.
Yeah.
But I woke up, and, you know, I've been here through MLS expansion, and I'm not putting that down at all. I loved having RSL here. I love going to the games. They're fun to watch on TV. I love having RSL here. It just, having this morning to wake up to, and knowing that the news broke yesterday in the middle of Hans and Scotty show, and just following it all day, the excitement I've seen on Twitter, knowing this morning that I'm getting up and excited to talk about it on the radio with you, it's so cool. It's just such a huge deal for our state. It's going to transform literally downtown when we pass this bill and decide to rebuild and revitalize everything we've got in this area, which it needs it, and I'm excited to see how it works.
What's up with the resurfacing of the Bluffdale thing?
There are some people who fear that the legislature, after all of this dirty work that they've gone through, and dirty work sounds like I'm putting it down. I'm not at all. They've done the legwork, that for some reason they would balk and now pass on it, and Ryan Smith would be forced to raise this $900 million and would move it somewhere else if that was the case.
Is that just pearl clutching, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. I just saw it online, and who knows what's...
I mean,
just,
I guess anything's technically possible, but...
But it's not like some...
Well, so now the mayor's going to not get reelected, and Governor Cox is not going to get reelected because they decide to balk and not get this law passed, and, like, everyone's going to be mad at them that the Jazz move out of Salt Lake City. Like, that's just not going to happen.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I just don't think that's going to happen.
That's why I ask.
All these joint proposals of how excited you are to have this and how everyone's on board with it. I would be absolutely stunned if this didn't pass.
But it's not a thing like when the Bears bought the old racetrack in Arlington Heights. And that's a pretty credible threat to move. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Nothing like that. This is just some folks.
Yeah. Poisoning the well.
Okay.
I would think. No, I mean,
because I would thought
Gary Pettman has seen the plans. Like,
yeah, and it went through the legislature and all that. Like, what
right,
would,
right. Those renderings Ryan released in February, like, that's not an accident.
No, he's been working on this for a while.
Yeah. This is all, like, I know that there are, and I don't know where it is in this process, and I'm not pretending that I'm behind the scenes of how the legislature works and how these things get passed and who knows what before it gets presented to them on the floor when they're voting on these things. But, like, sometimes we pretend these people are, or assume these people are flying by the seat of their pants, and it's like, while yes, this has moved absurdly quickly to bring a team in, this isn't by accident. Guys, nobody's making this up. You're opportunistic. But, like, Ryan's not just like, he's not getting on ChatGPT and saying, design me a new arena downtown with this prompt and it spits out in 8 minutes and he tweets it out. Like, come on, let's give everybody a little bit of their due respect that some people are good at their jobs. And that includes people in the government. That includes team owners. That includes city planners. Like, this is a huge process that they are not just making up as they go.
I listened to this this podcast, and it had on the former mayor of Las Vegas. His name was Oscar Goldman. Ben, I think I've told you about it before because it was a really interesting podcast. But he was a defense lawyer for the mob and then turned politician and was a really popular mayor. So much so that his wife is still mayor today. But he told an anecdote about how he was courting Gary Bettman for Las Vegas in the, like, I wish I could remember exactly what year it was. But I think it was like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, and he said that they shut the door and they stayed Vegas. No way, how. And he said, all right, but we got a lot to offer, so.
Keep us in mind.
Keep my number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, laid the groundwork for it. And this is Vegas where they had a lot to overcome. Laid the groundwork for it 20 years ago or whatever. Like, that's how these things happen. Now, I think Ryan Smith, you know, wasn't a billionaire 20 years ago, but I do think he's been laying the groundwork for this for quite, I mean, you can follow it paparazzi style, like pictures of him with Gary Bettman going back 2 years.
Well, I mean, to this point, when did you first start hearing about Ryan and potentially buying the Jazz? It was like 6 or 7 years before it happened. Like, it was in the ether for a long time.
Certainly his interest in buying an NBA team.
And the Five for the Fight patch, like all these things were just kind of around. None of it was accidental. And that doesn't mean that the Millers thought when he bought the Five for the Five patch initially that he was going to buy the team someday. But
no.
he knows how to work on these things.
Right.
He does know how to do these things.
Well, he tried to buy the Suns and the T-Wolves too, right? Or at least expressed interest.
There was interest,
yeah. I don't want to say try to buy. I don't know how far it was.
His wife, Ashley, who we probably have overlooked in her role in all of this, and I've heard nothing but very good things about her behind the scenes, has said that, like, yeah, I told him not to do it. I said, you want to be in Utah? You believe in Utah sports? Don't go mess around with Phoenix. Don't go mess around with Minnesota. You like Utah. Be a Utah guy. And that's what he's done. He's committed to being the Utah guy.
Very committed,
I'd say. He has done it better than anyone has ever done it, as far as bringing sports to the state of Utah. With all due respect to the Millers, he's now doubled down bringing the second franchise.
Yeah, he has. I don't know. I don't think you can underemphasize what Larry did.
Not trying to at all.
The risk that he took personally.
Not trying to at all.
Make it happen. I think the NBA owes Larry Miller a debt of gratitude.
The whole state of Utah does.
But yeah. But that aside, I hear, it's a huge deal. That's why we talked yesterday about people that were like complaining about Ryan Smith. Like, I have no idea where that comes from. Has he been the perfect NBA owner in his short tenure, Ben? Probably not. But, you know, he's not Frank Beamer. There's only one perfect person on this planet. But he's been pretty good. I don't see any major. I said this yesterday. The fact that he hired Danny Ainge is incredible. I mean, that bozo in Phoenix said, "You go get me Durant." Ryan Smith said, "Hey, me, I'm going to go get the best GM in the dang game."
Oh, well, here's the thing. James,
you know what I mean?
James Jones might have been the best GM in the NBA. And what did Matt Ishbia do? Do you remember the name he brought in immediately to be his? What's your word you like?
Rasputin.
You're his Rasputin?
Isaiah Thomas.
You had the best guy in the game, actually.
Yeah.
You had James Jones, who had built this awesome team in Phoenix and made these great draft night trades and had all these draft picks and had all these good young players. And he said, quiet down, James. I've got a guy named Isaiah Thomas who I'm going to listen to.
Isaiah might be the ultimate example of the Rasputin. He's like had multiple owners' ears somehow and has been disastrous everywhere that he's been. And somehow these uberly rich people are just like, oh my gosh, Isaiah.
They're starstruck.
Tell me what to do.
They're starstruck because it's a bunch of,
it's
with
crazy.
All due respect, what is it, Gen X? Yeah, Gen X billionaires who thought the 88 Bad Boys Pistons were the coolest thing that's ever walked the earth. And so they handed everything over to Isaiah Thomas when they became of age and were billionaires. They just said, okay, well, Isaiah Thomas was cool to watch. I'm going to give him an opportunity.
Wasn't it first the Raptors? Isaiah, go help get the Raptors off the mat.
It was the CBA. He was the commissioner of the Canadian Basketball Association.
I thought that it was the Continental Basketball Association.
Okay, yeah.
And I think it was, that came after Toronto, I think.
Regardless. Yeah.
Then bad in Toronto, sunk the CBA, bad in New York. And like any good Rasputin, it took forever to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Like, he was there for like a dozen years before they could finally pry him out.
Allegedly harassing cheerleaders, right? Like, nightmare.
Had to pay settlements and stuff. Yeah. And somehow Ishbia shows up and he's like,
I got the perfect guy.
He's my guy, Zeke.
I got the perfect guy.
I got an office right next to mine with his name on it.
I suggested go get Kevin Durant to James Jones. And he said, hold on, let me sleep on it. And by the next morning, Kevin Durant was coming because Isaiah Thomas had made the trade.
Zeke got it done. You know what I mean, though?
Absolutely.
And maybe this, I'll be really curious about this general manager from Phoenix. Because he's got a really good rep, right? And it seems like he's drafted well. I'll be curious. That is the first decision I would make. It's like, who's going to run this thing?
Bill Armstrong. That's my vote.
Right. I mean, and that's what I said. I mean, looking into it a little bit, it seems like he's pretty good. So,
I like Tarini, too. I like the coach.
You know?
The Bear. That's what his nickname is.
Who do you hang on to? Who do you not?
Yeah.
Where do you make your changes? Where do you make your influence? Again, we brought this up yesterday too. Jim Olsen is still president of the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Barney, who's I think what's his title? CRO, I think, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Chris Barney came up through the Miller org, and that dude is a rock star.
Yep.
Like Ryan was like, I got to keep these guys. They're doing a great job.
But then you got to go out and find the, you know, Caroline Kleins of the world, and you
right,
got to go find
right.
you've got to go and find then, the other people that are like, hey, I need a. Make a TV. I need to launch a TV network. How do I do that?
Yeah.
You go and you hire Caroline.
Our mutual friend, the social media. What's her official title now?
Senior Director of Content.
Yeah, she came up. She made a stop here on the radio station.
Yeah. Started KSL, actually.
Yeah, started KSL, right, and came up through the org. So, like, you know, that'll be interesting to see how the franchise is incorporated. Yet another advantage to not having an expansion team and bringing in something existing is you get that luxury, actually.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to go find everything entirely new. You can see, all right, what am I looking at here?
No, I'm so excited.
It's great.
It's great. It was a huge day yesterday. We knew it was coming, and it still has delivered probably beyond what I had hoped.
Top three stories coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I love this job. It's truly the best. Want to remind you about our friends at, we want to remind you about a big thing we like on the station. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to Jeremiah and Alex, also known as JJ and Alex, for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week. Sponsored by Hercules Credit Union.
I wish I remember their names. I think one of them was Tracy. This other one was a guy. I played junior jazz at the Kiwanis Club right there on 9th East
okay.
and 4th South.
Okay.
Two people I've remembered the rest of my life. I was one of 400 kids running around that gym that was on the second floor.
Yeah.
They were, if they weren't volunteers, they made $4 an hour. Changed my life. So shout out to those people. I'm sure you have your same Hercules Hero of the Week that you remember like, oh yeah, this is a volunteer who helped. And made kids' lives better. So shout out to those people.
Totally agree.
Yeah, shout out to those people.
I love that promotion.
So nominate them if you can find
Shout out to Hercules Credit Union. All right, Sarah, what is our first story today?
Number one, five NHL team names were sent to the trademark office, and here's what Ryan Smith had to say about naming the team.
with everything that we've got going on, I mean, we know it's going to be Utah and Utah something, right? And we have a lot of really good names. I mean, the internet's full of them. Like, we're looking at what that can be, but we also don't want to rush into it. I mean, this is a one-way door where you get to do this once. I think with us in the league, like, we're going to run the full process, want to make this very community-based. We want to go through and really engage the community, the fan base, and go do this together. And so we get one shot at it. So we're going to announce the second part of the name when that comes up.
That was Ryan Smith talking about the name. Now, the names up for trademark, Ben: the Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, Utah HC, and Utah Hockey Club.
The Yeti has also been. It's not on that original list, but it is also out there.
It is also out there.
Been trademarked.
Any thoughts?
I've always liked the Yetis. I've always liked the Yetis. I think it makes a ton of sense. It matches what.
I think it'd have to be singular, though.
The Yeti? That's fine. That would be my front runner and still my favorite. And the only thing we have right now is a little bit of fatigue because it's kind of been the name for so long that people are just going to want to change the next thing. I actually like the Outlaws, which has been bouncing around. It's something we talked about in a group chat a while ago as well. I probably not the imagery that they're going to approve or go for. I've liked that name, even though that was not in this list of names that has been trademarked. I don't mind Utah Hockey Club at all. I like the Washington football team. I like that you're one of a kind. You stand out. You're by yourself. There's nothing else like it. And it has a ton of versatility because you don't have to be married to an image of a Yeti or whatever. Utah Hockey Club can do whatever you want to do.
I'm with you on that. I've always kind of liked that idea. I did. I liked the Washington football team way more than the Commies.
Yeah, right.
Well, as far, but I don't think they're going to do that ultimately.
No, I don't think so.
And that's
either.
A sheer guess on my part. But I've always kind of liked the idea. But I'm a negative person. I could think of what I don't like about all these. The truth is, whatever they adapt, people are going to jump on board, and then they get used to it, and then it's a thing.
Yeah, and we'll
you know
rally.
What I mean? Yep. Right, exactly. So yeah, Blizzard. I don't know. You know, I think of the Dairy Queen treat.
Blizzard's one of my least favorite of that group.
Venom. I think of like a. Super villain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't mind Fury.
Fury sounds to me like Vin Diesel's character in those car movies.
I don't mind Fury just because I like that it's four letters and the Jazz is four letters and that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I like that more than that there's a double Z in Blizzard and there's a double Z with the Jazz.
I never thought that connection was relevant. The buzz.
Yeah.
It happened like once and everybody's like, oh, it's got to happen all the time.
It's got to happen all the time.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't think it has to.
I don't think it does. What about another form of music? The techno.
Okay. EDM. Utah EDM. I like that.
Has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House music.
Music.
Just the music.
I mean, in-game, like, production would be obnoxious for some of us, but, like, yeah.
The choir.
What brand of music would you say is a jug band? Because I've always thought a jug band
like
was
just
pretty rad.
A bunch of people blowing an old empty
like
liquor
the
bottle.
Jugs and the jugs and the wash tub bass. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the clothes thing.
Yeah, an old hand strung banjo.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Playing an old
what
milk
is that?
Carton.
I mean, that'd be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Nobody else has it.
Yeah. Do it.
What about the Utah Classical?
Sure.
Everybody could wear tuxedos at the game. That'd be pretty rad.
Not going to work, but you could make their uniforms.
But you see where I'm at here.
Yeah, make their uniforms look like they're going to perform in an orchestra.
But I think whatever they pick, people will hate it because some people hate everything.
Yeah, people are going to hate
it. People hate. I've said this a bunch. You could hand somebody, some people on this planet, you can hand them $100 and they'll look at you and they'll say, what, you can't give me $150?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, I just handed you $100. You're complaining about it? People will complain about it. I'll probably complain about it. And then we'll all get on board and it'll be pretty cool.
But I do like that they are going nameless to start and not trying to rush something just so they can like have a hat at the draft in June just to like say like, well, we got these weird blue and yellow colors and whatever. And that's not a thing. I'm not saying blue and yellow is a color at all. I haven't heard anything. I'm just saying like, don't just force something to force something.
Oh, I thought they were going with black and highlighter yellow.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, maybe they will. Nameless. The Utah Nameless?
The Nameless.
Like the coolest bar name in town. I guess it's in Park City. The No Name Saloon.
No Name Saloon.
The Nameless.
I like it.
Like, yeah, I like it. Like some masked bandit?
Yeah, right. Anonymous. I like it.
See, now we're, God, people need to listen to this show.
Yeah, people need to listen more. We just, Ryan, call us up.
We just solve problems.
Got some ideas.
All right, next.
Number two, Ali Khalifa commits to Louisville.
This was surprising. I was sure he was not going to go to Mark Pope's rival.
Is he going to stick it to Pope?
What the heck?
He's like, I really didn't enjoy my experience. I'm going to your rival.
I was sure he was going to go to Kentucky.
So if he would have picked Ohio State, would Khalifa have showed up in Michigan?
Yeah, right. Something. No, you know what he did? He said, who's got the most zeros on this paycheck? I'm sure that's what he did. Yeah, who's going to pay me the most? Okay. He's not a pro.
Yeah, but Greg Osabor's not showing up on the Palouse, you know? He's not going to Washington State.
I don't think so. Sounds like he actually was interviewed with Kentucky, which is a funny thing that players are doing now. But great Osabor, speaking of which. But yeah, that was bizarre. That was a strange move. But Louisville has money. Did they replaced their coach, right? Yeah, because they fired the last bozo, who was a former Kentucky guy, actually. So yeah, who's going to put the biggest paycheck in front of me?
Is their big whale donor still Papa John?
Ooh, is he still floating around?
Well, I think he was pushed out of the pizza company, but I.
But maybe he can still.
But is he still
pull strings?
Is he still getting hammered and going to Louisville games?
Maybe it's possible. That was surprising to me. I had assumed he was like a done deal. He was gone to Kentucky.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. We'll see how BYU
gonna stick it
out
to
this
Pope.
Team and what Kevin Young can do. Excuse me, to build out this roster and then his coaching staff.
Now, if you have a Khalifa jersey, are you keeping it because you're rooting against Pope? Are BYU fans rooting against Pope at Kentucky, or are they rooting for him? I always thought that was an interesting question about Urban Meyer in Florida.
There have been things that have come out about Mark Pope, and it's not like anything specific, but just that, like, he ruffled a few more feathers than people realized.
Oh, give us deets, Ben.
You give us deets. but the fact was, his winning made him a lot more liked. And even a year ago, we were talking about how you could replace him. In fact, there was a conversation on this show about, do you move off of him just because you're starting the Big 12 and you want a clean start?
One of us may have said, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, that wasn't so crazy to say at the time that I thought you should be fired from your job. That was not a crazy hypothetical. It didn't work. And he ended up doing a great job, but because he did such a great job, I think it toned down a lot of the issues that were starting to pop up, that he wasn't friends with everybody. That's fine. Not every coach is.
This is breaking news from, I think, a pretty credible source.
Okay, let's hear it.
Our friend Wild Turkey Fart Blunt on Twitter sends to me the breaking news that I didn't. He says, Papa John is still getting hammered and running around Park City. What?
Well, if anyone would know, Wild Turkey Fart Blunt is probably
that's
the guy.
That's what I'm saying. Very credible. Very credible. Speaking of the No Name Saloon, it's 10:43. Is Papa John saddled up right now?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I've been there for brunch. It's not bad. Mimosas all around.
I've never seen
Papa John's in town. Woo! Number three.
Number three, the NBA playoffs begin tomorrow.
Who's your source? Wild Turkey Fart Blunt on Twitter. NBA playoffs start tomorrow, 11 a.m., Donovan Mitchell versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, versus the Orlando Magic.
He's on the Cavaliers.
Though some
Ben.
People may feel like it's Donovan Mitchell versus the Cleveland Cavaliers after this season. We will see what happens there.
Oh, hey.
People are saying that like the Cavs are going to run away with this thing.
Against Orlando?
Against Orlando. Like, that is kind of the assumption. A lot of people are thinking
disagree.
It's going to be a 5-game series. Maybe. But like, man, Orlando is elite defensively. Like, they are going to throw everything at Donovan Mitchell, who's already hurt and beat up. And the rest of the guys on the Cavaliers have not turned into the stars they need them to be. This is going to be a great series.
Oh, I think the Magic are going to win. Not only is Orlando really good defensively, but, like, they're good defensively in a way that is really bad for Cleveland. They're not good defensively, like, because Rudy is standing in the middle,
for example.
Yeah,
because you have a rim protector. Exactly right.
No, they're good defensively in they've got big, long, athletic dudes that are going to make you work for every single square inch, which makes for long nights. And we saw what happened with Donovan Mitchell against the Rockets those years. And Ben, why am I blanking on his name?
Is it Trevor Ariza?
Trevor Ariza. Yeah. I was going to say, just a role guy.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Trevor, go take Donovan out of the series. And he's like, all right.
Jalen Suggs is first team all defense this year. He and Alex Caruso are the two best guard defenders in the NBA. And Jalen Suggs is going to be glued to Donovan Mitchell for 20 minutes. And look, Donovan Mitchell is so good. You're not going to stop Donovan. You're going to hope to contain him, as they say. But they're going to throw Jonathan Isaac on him, which put Trevor Ariza on steroids for 15 minutes, 18 minutes a night. I mean, Jonathan Isaac, when he's on the floor, is the best defender in the NBA. I'm not kidding. You probably haven't watched him because no one watches Orlando Magic basketball.
But he's really good.
Watch him in the morning at 11 a.m. Jonathan Isaac, as long as he's healthy, he gets hurt every 15 minutes, is going to wreak havoc on this Cleveland Cavaliers team. So that's a great game. Second game of the day, 1:30, Suns at Timberwolves. I love that series. 76ers, Knicks, which is awesome. Lakers-Nuggets, ironically, is going to be the worst game of the weekend.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I think the Nuggets should smoke them.
And then Sunday, the only game that's for sure is Pacers-Bucks. That's at 5 p.m. on TNT. Still trying to figure out the Mavericks and the Clippers are at 1:30 on ABC. That's a great series also. Still trying to figure out who the Celtics and the Thunder are going to play. That will be decided tonight in the play-in tournament.
Man, honestly, the first round for the Celtics is going to be super easy, regardless of who wins, right?
Yep.
No Jimmy Butler with Miami. I don't think they're going to put up much resistance.
No, they got a perfect deal.
But
that's the advantage of being the number one seed. That's what you hope for.
Yeah, and if you're OKC, who are you cheering for?
Probably the Pelicans without Zion, because his hamstring's going to keep him out for a while.
For at least 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Kings are dangerous.
Yeah, but they're banged up too.
Yeah, no, they're not great. Yeah, they're not going to win, but I guess I don't want to deal with De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. So give me the Pelicans, who have never done it. Brandon Ingram's just coming back from injury, and they're not going to have Zion, so we'll dismiss them quickly. That's what I would root for.
Update. Wild Turkey Fart Blunt's back in, Ben.
WTFB.
He said, speaking of Papa John.
Can you do a number four? Top four stories at KSLSports.com. Number four is the Papa John update brought to you by Wild Turkey Fart Blunt.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Number four.
Update.
The Papa John's update brought to you by Wild Turkey Fart Blunt.
Okay.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. We're going to need to put a new category on the digital side to get these articles out.
Oh. He adds, he's still recovering from last night, meaning he's not at brunch. He's still
out.
Still shaking it off. And it said, house in the colony, I believe. So.
I'm not going to dox Papa John.
That's not doxing Papa John.
This is all on the WTFB, by the way, on Twitter. This is not us. This is him.
And this is Utah, Ben. This is like an open carry state. I'd like to see you get into the colony. Not making it far. Not if Papa John has anything to say about it. Right now, taking some Alka-Seltzer and having a cup of coffee. All right. What was that, Sarah? I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, we want to remind the good folks about the Saturday show going down this week. They're going to broadcast live from the Uinta Golf Demo Days from 10 to noon at Mulligan's, 106 South, 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win free gear from the great people at Uinta Golf. Stay tuned, more next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense the urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Any way you want it, just the way you need it, any way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything.
This song makes me think of Rodney Dangerfield, for obvious reasons. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. Also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week. Next week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the station all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Elliot Friedman is hockey insider for Sportsnet, and the NHL Network is going to join us coming up next, so stay tuned for that. We're hoping to check in with Sam Farnsworth at 11:30. I'm really hesitant to ask this question because I love that movie so much. Do you know, Sarah, what movie I'm referring to?
Of course she does not.
No?
No, I don't.
No? Rodney Dangerfield, you know who that is? I don't get no respect. Yeah, you don't know? Yeah. No Rodney Dangerfield?
Sarah, what year were you born? Sorry.
99.
He died in 04. So like, yeah, she has no reason to know who Rodney Dangerfield is.
Except for these great movies. I know who Greta Garbo is.
He's never been in a great movie, and you've never seen a Greta Garbo movie.
Probably not. But that's from Caddyshack, Sarah, which is a fine movie. If you're looking for something to watch one night and get a few laughs, that's a good one.
Sounds good. I'll put it on my list.
Your dad has seen it.
Probably.
I will say that. Oh, your dad has seen it.
Bet you $1 million your dad has seen it.
Anyways.
Cinderella Story. What a great movie.
Hey, press conference tonight.
Maybe that's a win. What you got Wednesday?
Rodney Dangerfield movies?
Okay, anyway.
Well, whoever drafts Little Nicky loses, and that's going to be like the second pick.
Move on, anyway.
No party tonight. I had mentioned that it sounded like maybe they were trying to brew something up. Not happening. So don't plan on that. I'm not saying you can't go to the arena and hang out outside and see what's going on around the world. I suspect we will see people excited to be around. I mean,
the hot dog bacon people would be there, I bet.
Someone built a shrine for Gordon Hayward when he blew up his ankle in Boston after he left the Jazz. But 5 p.m. tonight, press conference with Ryan Smith, Gary Bettman. We'll see who all shows up. But Ashley Smith, we will see.
Rodney Dangerfield, maybe.
Just Weekend at Bernie's him up there. I get no respect. Even when I'm dead. So we will see who shows up tonight. But
I can get Papa John.
Every weekend's a weekend at Bernie's with the.
If Papa John asked to come, do you think they'd say no?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I do too. No, thanks, Papa. Buy some tickets. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we're very excited about this. We're going to get the latest from Elliot Friedman. We're going to talk about the big day.
Hockey Insider for the Sportsnet. Yeah.
Yep, it'll be great. Stay tuned. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
Best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Big day for Utah. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. The National Hockey League is coming to town, and we're very excited about our next guest. He is a hockey insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is Elliot Friedman, with us here on Jake and Ben. Elliot, thank you so much for a few minutes. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. Welcome to the National Hockey League.
Well, we couldn't be more excited, honestly. It's just been a party in Salt Lake, and it's all over the radio, obviously, and we've been thrilled about it for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. But that's what's amazing. That's when this all started. This hasn't been 6 months, 12 months, a year. Like, this kind of broke that, hey, this Morello stuff is not working well. He wants to buy this land, but they're not really on board in Arizona, and now it's here. Has it been that fast for the NHL too, or do you think this is a longer process to get this team to Salt Lake City?
Well, I think it really changed last May. Last May was when Arizona was going through a referendum in Tempe to get an arena built. And leading into it, all of the news out of the hockey team was positive. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to get this land. And they got clobbered. They lost pretty badly. And I think that was a real smack in the face of realization to a lot of people, and especially the NHL. And they kind of had to step back and and reassess, but definitely their tone changed towards the Coyotes. Not Arizona as a market. I think they're going to go back there someday, but the tone changed toward this particular organization. And it basically became, what does this mean? And, you know, the commissioner was telling the governors that they would know early in 2024 about the future. The players were putting a lot of pressure through their leadership about this can't continue. I think there were a lot of owners who felt this couldn't continue. But, guys, there were a lot of stops and starts. You would hear a lot of rumors right around the All-Star break, which was the beginning of February, that something's going on here, and it would stop and start. And now with 2020 hindsight, we know this really, really heated up at the beginning of March, the first week of March. And they really wanted to get it done by yesterday and today. They wanted it done as soon as possible after Arizona's season, and they wanted to announce it before the start of the playoffs, which is tomorrow. So it was a real runaway train. But I don't think they really knew that this was the way they were going to go until the beginning of March. And I don't think they really knew that there was a good chance it was going to happen until about 2 weeks ago.
I think it's pretty savvy, Elliot, and I kind of am calling it a little bit of the lifeboat strategy that Ryan Smith took and just said, hey, we're available. We're here and we can make it happen. So let's do this thing. I thought, you know, get the franchise here and get it in the door. Don't worry about expansion this or whatever, but just make it happen. And I think it's bold of him to be in the position to do so.
Well, they wanted Ryan Smith. Yeah. You know, it broke about a year ago. It was a little over a year ago. I counted it. Today is 388 days, actually, since Ryan Smith went for dinner with Gary Bettman after an NBA Board of Governors meeting in New York City. And I think they'd met at least once before, but I think that was the time where they really nailed it down and said, I'm interested, and he wanted to be in the league. And when news started to get out that Smith had met with Bettman, there were a lot of people around the NHL who wanted him in. He's the kind of person you want in your league. He's a bright, aggressive guy. And him and his wife, Ashley, they've done, you know, obviously Smith Entertainment Group, they know what they're doing. And I think people really, the momentum built to have them in. I think he was always going to be in the league. The thing that Ryan Smith had always said was he preferred expansion. And I had a couple of people tell me this week, like the one thing, the bonus you guys are really getting with this Coyotes team is they have a lot of really good young players. They have a lot of draft picks. They're on the way up. You know, they were playing pretty well this year until things broke in January that they could be leaving, and they lost 14 games in a row. And, you know, they learned from that. When things broke again last week, they had four really good performances at the end of the season and won three of those games against some good teams. But they're on the way up, and I think that also appealed to Smith. Like, I had some owners who told me they're not as certain this would have happened this quickly if it wasn't the team going in the right direction. But the clear thing was is that the NHL's best option to keep that team going was him. I don't think there was really anything else that was close in terms of having an arena built, even though they have to upgrade it, of a situation that was as ready-made, about an owner that was as enthusiastic at the price point that they paid as Ryan Smith was. He was the right guy at the right time.
So, Elliot, I want to ask you, because everything I've seen from you, everywhere I've heard, is that, yeah, the NHL wants to be in the Ryan Smith business. Is he...
Yep.
Is that because he's similar to other NHL owners, or is he dissimilar from other NHL owners? Like, is there a common thread through them that is missing Ryan Smith or where he fits in?
You know, it's a great question. I would say he's dissimilar. You know, the NHL is a league where the owners tend to be very quiet. Like, there are some times, like, I'll watch, like, for example, I'll watch coverage of the NHL ownership meetings, you know, on TV or wherever. And, you know, like the meeting ends and Jerry Jones is looking for the cameras and Jim Irsay was running to the cameras. And I was like, boy, why can't we get that? Because in the NHL, they all run away from the cameras, and Bettman and his deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, they do a lot of the talking. And so I think, you know, the amount that he's been out there, I would say that he's probably less similar to a lot of NHL owners. And the reason I think a lot of people think that's a good thing is because I think the NHL generally tends to be a pretty conservative league. And I think I know that we would like to see some other owners be out there a bit more. Now, I can guarantee you this, Bettman doesn't want guys setting off headlines every day like a Jerry Jones would, but I think they like the fact that he's a little bit younger, he comes from a different generation of ownership, and he's obviously very smart and very successful. And as you guys know, Salt Lake City, although they're going to call the team Utah, it's a really growing market, and you want to be part of that.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Hockey Insider for Sportsnet and NHL Network. Ben and I, as you can imagine, are frantically trying to learn as much as we can about the Coyotes. And so I'm curious, from your standpoint, what's your take on their front office and specifically Bill Armstrong?
Well, one thing I'll tell you is that Bill looks like he could beat up a lot of the other GMs in the league. He's a big guy. He used to play. Bill, as a matter of fact, one thing you could ask him about, he will be happy you ask him about this. One, there's our junior league here, which is the number one. It's sort of like our NCAA that feeds up players to the NHL. It's called the Canadian Hockey League. The championship game is known as the Memorial Cup. And that's the championship tournament and the championship game. And when Bill was a player, he played for a team called the Oshawa Generals. He was on the same team as Eric Lindros, who's in the Hall of Fame and was a number one pick about 30 years ago. And they went to one of the longest overtime games in the history of the Memorial Cup. And he scored the winning goal. And he still lives off that. So he'll love it if you mention that. One thing about Bill Armstrong is he has a very sharp eye for talent. He's always been very good at identifying young players. He was good at that in St. Louis. He's coached before. He's very good at identifying talent. And the Coyotes have a lot of good young players and a lot of picks. And he's done a good job with that. And you guys will benefit. The head coach, Andre Tournier, he's a really good coach. He's done a very good job in very difficult circumstances. A lot of their young players have gotten better, which is what you want out of your coach. And I'm not surprised that Utah would want to bring them both and keep them and see how they develop in Utah. I'm curious to see. I've heard they may add to their front office. I'm curious to see what that's going to mean. But I think that they are potentially looking at adding. Now, the other thing you guys should know is you're in the Central Division. That's one of the toughest divisions in the league. I mean, you have three absolute powerhouses at the top of it in Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. And two of them, Colorado and Winnipeg, are playing in the playoffs this year against each other. And Dallas is the number one team in the Western Conference. I mean, that is a tough, tough division. So it will be a challenge.
Four young players on the roster that get a lot of attention that we've heard a lot about. Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, yep. Dylan Gunther, Josh Doan. When yep. you're building a team and you're like hoping these guys develop, are we talking about you hope one of these guys is one of the 10 best players in the league? Do they even have that potential? Do you hope to have three top 100 players? Like, how does that work when you arrive and when these young players pay off?
Well, I think the thing is that, number one, the draft is such a crapshoot because, you're drafting at 19 years old and you think you know, I don't know what you guys were like at 19 years old. Like, at 19, I was the biggest cement head alive. And thankfully, I'm not the same person at 53 than I was at 19. Sometimes it can be a real crapshoot. And I will say this is a really hard league. It's not as physical as it used to be, like fighting down, but it's still a tough league. And the one thing you guys will really notice is that the regular season is not the same as the playoffs. The playoffs are a maximum 28 tough, mean, vicious games. And you can't play a full 82 like that. You will see some hard games. You're going to see some great hockey. You're going to see some great skill. But I really do think when the playoffs start, the players go to another level of what they're willing to do. So sometimes, like, it's a big adjustment. You can see players adjust fast during the regular season, and the first time they go into the playoffs, you know, you look at it and you say, holy smokes, like, this is a new level that I've never even contemplated before. I've heard a lot of players tell me that. I think that, like, Cooley, he could have been the number one pick the year he went third. He really could have. I think he has a chance, and a decent chance, a better than decent chance, to be the best player in that draft. I think he's really talented. I think he's a competitive guy, and I think he has a chance to be a real star. You know, I think that Gunther, in the last couple weeks, I've been incredibly impressed. He was a high pick. I think he was ninth overall. I saw him in Vancouver last week against a really good team, have a four-point game. I don't, like, to me, of those four players you mentioned, Cooley's got the highest ceiling, but Gunther could be a really good player. Keller, he's more of a veteran. I have a ton of respect for Clayton Keller because 2 years ago he suffered a very serious knee injury, and I know people that when they saw him leave the ice that night and they heard what the injury was, there were people who thought he might never play again. And he was there at the start of next season, and he was an all-star that next season. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't say a lot, but he's really determined. He's older than those other guys. He's an all-star level player. He's, like I said, a quietly really determined, good player. You know, getting to... Like, Ryan Smith met with the players yesterday, and I didn't speak to everyone, but I think some of those guys, because of the way this happened, they were a little bit wary. I heard he blew them away. I heard he really sent a good message. The people I communicated with came out of it with a very positive feeling. I think Keller is going to be one of the guys that you're going to want, that Smith is going to want to say, we really need you here, because I think he's one of the real leaders of the team. Doan, he's a legacy in Arizona. His father is the greatest player in the history of the franchise. He's also made it to the NHL faster than I think a lot of people thought. He's not going to be as big of a star as a Cooley is or a Gunther is, but he's a really good player.
So Ryan Smith has been kind of tweeting out there a running tally of how many deposits have been put down for season tickets. And I saw a report like a half an hour ago, it's up to 20,000 or something crazy. And as you've covered the NHL and watched it expand and move to new markets, and we've seen successes, you know, Vegas obviously comes to mind, how successful that has been. But we've seen a couple of failures too. Is there a recipe for success you've seen with these new markets? Something that, you know, fans who really want this to succeed here can kind of take a blueprint from?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, you know, early on, there's always the curiosity of the new sport. I mean, it's not new to you guys. I mean, you know, Utah's had a good hockey history, but there will be a curiosity factor about the new team. And I have found that when you and the other thing, too, is even though you're going to be in a really tough division, you're not starting from scratch. And that will help you a bit. Like, this team is close. Like, a couple of years ago, they were not ready to try to win. Now they're getting closer to that. They're not, like, still, it's going to be a battle. Like I said, tough division, young players, but they're getting closer. That's going to help. The number one thing, though, I always really feel, guys, is, and you guys have seen this with the Jazz. You've had years where you guys have been great, and you've had years where you guys have been not great. But at the end of the day, do people leave the game feeling like they've had a good experience? I always, like, some of the, because you're not going to win every year. You're going to have to rebuild at times. You're going to have to change who you are at times. So the thing you have to do at that point, and I've seen this be a problem in some NHL markets, is that you have to say to people, you're going to lose, we're going to give you a good show. And look, the way Smith has talked, he's very well aware of that. I understand that the Utah Jazz have a very good program for getting young kids to play the sport. You're going to have to do the same thing with the fans for hockey. You know, make sure whether it's ball hockey or ice hockey, whatever it is, Young people are invested in the sport and play. I mean, the best marketing is winning. If you're a bad team for a long time, nobody's going to care. But I think you guys are on the way up. And as long as you give people feel that they're getting value for their dollar, you're always going to be successful.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to ask you the dumbest question you're going to get asked today. In the NBA, Okay. You know, 25 points per game, 30 points, that's an elite score. 10 assists is an elite number. 12 rebounds, an elite number. When we're talking hockey, what are elite goal numbers? What are elite assist numbers from an individual player? What's an elite point total for an individual player that we should be watching and understand the lingo that way?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's a dumb question. I have asked a lot worse questions than that. I'll tell you that. Secondly, I would just say, look, like, you guys are new. You guys don't know everything. So nothing's a dumb question. So for a long time, the NHL went through a scoring drought. The defenses were too good, too much interference. But luckily, we've gone away from that. It's kind of like the bad boy Pistons era. They wanted that, and they created more offense in the NBA. So the magic number for goals is generally 50. Okay, so Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who's Arizona-born, he scored 69 goals this year. That is the highest total in an NHL season since 1993, when two players had 76. 69 goals, if you're doing that, you're a star. But generally, we look at 50. If you score 50 goals, that's a magic number. 100 points is a magic number. People get 100 points in a season, so you're basically at, you know, 1.25 points per game. That's a great number. This year, I think we had three guys at 130 points. Connor McDavid from Edmonton, Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, and Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay. That's the first time we've had three players over that number, I think, in about 30 years. Clarence went away for a while, but it's coming back. The young players today, and those guys aren't young, but they're younger, they are more skilled than ever. They do more skill work than ever, and they can do things that we've never seen before. So if you get a 50-goal player, a 100-point player, those are the numbers I think a lot of people would consider really elite.
Elliot, we've got to take advantage of having you on the show with the playoffs here. Yep. Give us a breakdown. Who do we like?
Well, I know I'm a big enough NBA fan. I broke in covering the NBA. So I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Colorado. I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Dallas. Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champion. They're reeling going into the playoffs. They haven't looked great, and they've got three big injuries, and we'll see who shows up for game one of the playoffs. But if they're healthy, you do not discount them, even though they 1-8, even though they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, they're very deep. The best team in the NHL in the regular season were the Rangers from New York. The teams I really like are the Rangers, Carolina, the Florida Panthers, and I really like Dallas in the West. 1-20, I think they're the best team, but they've got Vegas in the first round. So I think that's going to be a huge challenge for them.
Hey, last question before we let you go. I'm just curious about the star players. We talk about guys like Connor McDavid. We saw him in the Coyotes finale. We know Bedard is the big rookie coming in, the two Connors. Is McDavid the LeBron of the NHL, and it's going to be his league for the next 5 years? Is Bedard on the rise? Like, how does that work in the NHL?
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that. Like, our awards voting is due today at 5:00, and we make all our votes public. That's one of the things, is if you vote for the NHL awards, one of the things you have to agree in is that your vote will be made public after the awards are handed out. And I'm going to tell you, this year, guys, we are going to get destroyed, the voters. I think it's the hardest Hart Trophy vote. Hart Trophy is the MVP of the league. It's the hardest Hart Trophy vote that we've ever had. I would say the LeBron of the NHL, even though the team didn't make the playoffs this year, is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's kind of the the gold standard. He just had an incredible season at age 36, but the team just wasn't good enough, and they missed the playoffs. He's kind of the guy that everybody falls behind. And this generation of players, they all kind of grew up idolizing him. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. He's won a World Cup, which is kind of like an international tournament that's best on best across the countries. Like, when you kind of talk about the 5 greatest players in hockey history, they talk Wayne Gretzky, they talk Mario Lemieux, they talk Gordie Howe, who played until he was 52 years old. They talk Bobby Orr, who was the greatest defenseman of all time. And they talk about Maurice Richard, who was a goal scorer for the Montreal Canadiens and one of the first great goal scorers in NHL history. Now there's talk that Crosby will break into that group, that when he retires, he will be seen as one of the top 5 or 4 of all time. And nobody came close to breaking that conversation. But I think now, when you look at the next generation, I think McDavid, because of what he can do, is kind of seen as the number one guy. He's the most dangerous, explosive player. But you guys know how it goes. You got to win. And he burns to win, and he's going to try to do it this year. They open up against LA.
He is the hockey insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is a huge deal. Elliot, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I think you're now tied with Steve Wojciechowski as the biggest celebrity we've had on. So we really appreciate you.
You guys got to do better than that. You know what? I'll tell you this. The players who are coming in, like, there are some Keller's a really quiet guy. He's a great story. Lawson Krause, like, there are some good talkers on that team. And believe me, it won't be too long till I am far eclipsed by some of the players that you're going to be dealing with.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate you and your very valuable time. So thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you so much.
No worries, guys. Have a great day and congratulations again.
Hey, thank you, Elliot. Appreciate it. The great Elliot Friedman. Again, Sportsnet and NHL Network.
What more could you ask for? Well, that was awesome.
Yeah, so cool.
That was great. Thanks for answering all of my terrible questions and just trying to get to know this league. And I suspect I am like a lot of native Utahns who have known about hockey and have had it on and grew up with it, but haven't studied it, haven't watched it like this. And man, we have a very, very smart basketball fan base here. I have no doubt that we will catch up on hockey very quickly.
It seems to me, and he had this sentiment, but I've heard this from several, people in the hockey world. You got to get your hands around it. You got to experience it, get there, see it, see how fast it is, and then it's easy to kind of fall into it. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think he makes a great point about youth hockey. I think that has potential for tremendous growth around here as it becomes more accessible. And if you could do a, junior Jazz type of league, I mean, I don't know if people know this, Ben, but the Junior Jazz is the most successful thing of its kind in the country.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Just like the Celtics don't have the Junior Celtics, and it goes like that. It's a huge deal.
Find somebody who grew up in Utah who didn't play Junior Jazz.
Everybody did.
You will not find it.
Yeah.
You will not find it. And
Kevin Young probably played Junior Jazz.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I promise you he did. Of course he did. He's a basketball guy.
Right.
In Salt Lake. Yeah. He did. We all know he did. Hatch just walked in. Hatch played Junior Jazz.
Yep.
You played Junior Jazz.
I did.
I played Junior Jazz.
Like, everybody did.
It's a part of our culture.
Sarah is from Florida, and she probably played
Junior Jazz. Yeah. So I'm excited to see, because hockey will pick up. Hockey will absolutely be picked up. And if it's not in an ice rink, it's going to be street hockey. Like, you're going to see hockey sticks everywhere. It's just going to be a part of our culture now. And I'm thrilled for that. I love that. I can't wait to see it. It's here. And Elliot Friedman was absolutely terrific.
Yeah, that was great. Big thanks to him for jumping on. We'll have more coming up next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Trying to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We'll be right back.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Join the Saturday show coming up tomorrow at the Uinta Golf Demo Days. 10 to noon at Mulligan's, 106 South, 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win free gear from Uinta Golf. Let's get out to the Zone phone. Joining us now, of course, you see him on Channel 5, KSL. He was down at Phoenix covering the Coyotes' final game, and he's our good buddy, Sam Farnsworth. What's happening, Sam?
What's going on, guys?
You were down in Arizona covering the final game. What has this week been like, and what have these last few days been like?
A little bit of a whirlwind, right? I'm sure for you guys, too. But, yeah, I mean, just going down there and kind of experiencing firsthand what it was like for a lot of these fans right now, what they're experiencing is they're now losing their hockey team, right? There's just a lot of emotion from that standpoint. A lot of confusion still with employees of the team that they still didn't know a lot of the details and what was going on. You know, the people that we had spoken with, they expressed a lot of just like, oh, we know about as much as you do type sentiment. And I was really surprised by that. It just shows the disconnect between ownership and upper management with the rest of that team. But, yeah, it was really, really interesting to see kind of just the whirlwind there and just kind of what the players had to deal with as they were just trying to wrap up their season.
I want to know what you did, Sam, when that Salt Lake Sucks chant came raining down from the crowd. Did you lob the bird? Did you do Enes Kanter style, you know, hold your hand to the ear? Did you say, no, you suck? I want to know what you did.
I was looking for a place to hide really quick. You know, I'm like, uh-oh. Hostile environment. That at first I didn't catch on to it. As someone else pointed out to me, that, did you hear what they're saying? I'm like, I had to take a second listen. And I was like, wow, you know, but you know what? One thing I thought was really impressive was for one of their players, his name's Josh Stone. He's a homegrown kid. He grew up in Arizona. His dad's an Arizona Coyotes legend. You know, he's a rookie with the team right now. He played his college hockey at Arizona State. So he's Arizona born and bred through and through, right? And yet when we were talking to him in the end of season media availability, he mentioned that Salt Lake doesn't suck. he said Salt Lake's a pretty good place. You know, our fans were saying things that I'm sure they don't really mean it. They're just, you know, emotional with the situation right now. He's like, we certainly don't have any hate for Salt Lake City or for Utah. We're excited to get there. But, yeah, you know, and it's like I don't blame the fans because they're the victims in this, right? They're just kind of chanting with their emotions on their sleeves.
So, yeah, the players and the coaches, and I know you've been able to talk to a lot of people down there. Do you think they couldn't celebrate because obviously this was a tough area for the fans and to sit and watch that happen? Do you think there was some optimism there? Do you think there was some excitement to try something new?
Yes, for sure. I think the players were treading lightly at the same time because they understand that the fan base that had supported them for so long. It's not like it's the players' fault. It's not like it's the players that are turning their back on the fan base, right? So they expressed a lot of their sympathy for the fans that, you know, this really sucks for them and, you know, we love it here and all this, but every single player that we spoke with both after the game and the following day, yesterday in their end of season media availability, every single one of them talked about how they're excited to come to a market where the fans are ready to embrace them, where an ownership group is ready for them with a plan for the future, not just kind of a plan for the next week or whatever, you know, and they actually have a plan for the future of the franchise. And all of those like sentiments came out of these players that they were excited that, you know what, we actually get to go play hockey in a real arena now where fans are going to be loud and cheer for us and where there's actually an opportunity for us to play for something instead of just kind of go month to month, season to season in this college arena trying to make things work.
Sam, of course, you are Utahn, but you did spend some time in Denver, and with that kind of perspective in mind, what do you think this says about the growth of our community?
I mean, it's great. It definitely says that. I think what it says the most is that Utah, our market, Salt Lake City, our state, we're all just sports hungry, right? Everyone loves sports here. And it started, you can go all the way back to 2002 when we got the Winter Olympics. That was kind of the first real sign that this state, this community, they love being in the spotlight. They love being in the world's eye view when it comes to athletics and sports. And I think this just shows again that we're ready. We're ready for big things, like what Ryan Smith was saying last year when they got the All-Star game, that, you know, Utah's ready to host big things. And here we are now, right? We've got an NHL team coming to town, and I think it just reflects the growth of our market. It reflects the hunger and the desire for professional sports in our market, and the hunger and the desire to be seen and to prove that we can be on that same stage as all these bigger markets.
Sam, we know you just rolled back into town. We appreciate you and all your work on this story, but having a few minutes to stop by the show. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, no problem, guys. We'll see you.
See you, Sam. Sam Farnsworth, KSL Channel 5, and he's been all over this thing.
We sent Sam down there. We sent Kyle Ireland down there. Ton of coverage. Been really exciting, and I think it's going to continue throughout. I'm excited to see where everything lands next year, and next year meaning 3 months from now, 4 months from now, when this really kicks off, and it's going to be a whirlwind. I'm sure Ryan Smith has his work cut out for him over the next several months to get this done, and not just Ryan, everybody who works for Ryan and that whole organization is going to be...
Well, it's a tall task for sure.
All hands on deck. And you know who I'm thinking is going to love this? Danny Ainge. He's got this whole distraction over here. Danny's going to really get his mitts into the Utah Jazz this summer. Yeah, you're busy. I'll take care of this.
I'm going to cut the whole team.
I'll handle this. You worry about hockey. I'm going to reshape this basketball team to really look like how I want it to.
All right.
That's been going on already.
What? The dismantling the team?
Danny Ainge. We talked about this, not to get so off track, but the Quinn Snyder resignation press conference was not the Quinn Snyder resignation press conference. It was the Danny Ainge land claim of, this is my team now. This is going to look how I want it to.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He did most of the talking at Quinn Snyder's resignation, and I thought it was fascinating. And again, I'm not going to speak for you. I think Danny's probably the right guy for the job. There's not many people I would hire ahead of Danny, if anybody, actively working in the NBA. But it's going to be an interesting summer because Ryan Smith is going to be so dedicated to one thing and all this attention that he's going to have to put out there for hockey that the Jazz are going to be a little bit unique.
Well, you don't hire Danny Ainge to not let him do the job. That's what I always thought was such a good sign about Ryan Smith as an owner. You know, when Jerry Jones was hiring a front office guy, he said...
Tell me I'm right.
It's me.
Yeah.
Tell
me how smart I am.
I am the front office guy. No, you go out and Ben, if you started a new business, in restaurant management, I'm sure you'd go out and hire the best dang manager you can and then stay out of the way because you know nothing about running a restaurant.
Yeah. One of the things that Elliot Friedman talked to us about that I thought was really fascinating is how shy and quiet NHL owners are, which is actually how things were for every owner basically everywhere for a really long time. There were the exceptions, the Al Davises, the Jerry Joneses you mentioned. But like NBA owners were not front and center until Mark Cuban came and was like, hey, it's the Mark Cuban show. Watch this. Now, Mark has proven to be a great owner. He won a title in Dallas, where Dallas was an absolute disaster of a program my entire life growing up. It was just a joke of a basketball team, and he turned it around. I could see Ryan Smith spearheading that type of attention and making Utah cool, and the way Mark Cuban made the Dallas Mavericks cool. If he could make the Utah hockey team cool and a breath of fresh air compared to the previous owner, Morello, who was maybe the worst owner in hockey and one of the worst owners in professional sports, that's a huge plus, and that can be a real benefit.
I have a theory for you on why hockey owners are a little more quiet. You remember the lockout back in 2004-2005 mm-hmm. where they lost a season and a half? No owner wants to be known at that point.
Yeah,
if
right.
you're really going that deep,
yep.
You want to stay out of the headlines. And Gary Bettman was the one that caught all the heat for that. And that's the commissioner's job. And as a result, they have an absolute stranglehold over the collective bargaining process. So I wonder if the fallout is owners being like, we'll let Gary be the bad guy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm sure that's a very good point. And you know what? Another reason why they would welcome a fresh young face
that,
Ryan,
good
who
point.
Can go on Pat McAfee's show, go on Armpit Show, and talk. And people be like, oh, yeah, I've seen him. I mean, they were showing his picture this morning.
Yeah.
They don't show the owner of everyone who's buying a team or when a team's moving. But Ryan is a face around professional sports now in North America. And that's going to only grow. And I suspect he will not back away from staking that claim.
I'm telling you, every other sport looks at hockey's collective bargaining agreement and goes, oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Must be nice. Ooh, a hard cap?
Nice. Yeah. Mm.
A salary cap under $100 million and it's a hard cap? Must be nice.
Boy, yeah. Let's get,
let's get a sum of that.
All right, stay tuned. We wrap up the show. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, it's a huge day. Not only did Taylor Swift drop an album, but it was a secret double album. I've not heard it yet. But apparently there's a serious diss track about Kim Kardashian.
Finally.
Take that, Kim.
A Taylor Swift diss track. I hope it's like Ether.
But it just, it does make me look forward to her and Travis Kelce's breakup and the songs that will follow. How many bad football puns do you think there'll be?
I thought you were a touchdown.
Yeah.
You're a fumble.
Listen, I like Taylor Swift and I like her music, but I understand why critics like Sarah think she's a bit on the whiny side.
She's pretty on the nose with her lyrics, with all due respect, which
it's
is
not
fine.
Very cryptic. No, it's not like you're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. We know who it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have to dig too deep. Apparently in this this diss track, it's called something Amy, but there are three letters that are capitalized in the title, and it's K-I-M.
Oh, well, good for her. I just, people, yeah, but, I saw, people were excited last night.
To your point, you don't have to dig too deep.
Yeah. Hey, I don't knock anyone for being excited about anything. You know, well, some things, but you want to get excited about music. Good music is universally a good thing, right? That's good. Get excited about Taylor Swift's music. I haven't listened. I won't. I don't, it's not a badge of honor or dishonor, whatever you want to do, but good for Taylor.
You know, the lead singer of Toto was dating Rosanna Arquette when he wrote the song Rosanna. He didn't really dig too deep on that one either.
A hit, though. Unquestionably
but
a hit.
But it was like, I think I know who that's about.
not a lot of guessing involved. You got to be careful with that. But that's a great song, and it's got to be the only song about anyone named Rosanna.
Allegedly, Bob Dylan wrote a song about another woman, and then his wife at the time was not really pleased. So then he wrote a song called Sarah, which was her name, and said in the song, I wrote that song about you. I swear I wrote it about you.
Okay.
It's a good song. It's on the Desire album. It's not bad. That also not too... didn't dig too deep about who he wrote that about.
The band, whose most famous song is The Wait, is written about a woman who Gordon Lightfoot also wrote the song Sundown about, which is about like a uncouth woman you don't want hanging around your house, and is also the same woman who injected John Belushi with his fatal overdose. Like, this woman was notorious.
Good heavens.
In those circles.
Layla is George Harrison's ex-wife, right?
Yeah. It's spicy.
That's rough. Spicy.
Hey, today's show's been so fun. We are so lucky to be able to do this job in general, but days like this that are transformational to our state's future and what downtown area is going to look like, feel like, what we are going to look like as a community, what we're going to gather together over and celebrate. Our opportunity to hold a mirror between fans and this organization are it's a real pleasure for me personally. I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's really cool. Excited for the future of the show as we now incorporate the National Hockey League into our lexicon. It was fun to have Elliot Friedman on. Again, big thanks to him for jumping on with us. It was fun to talk about Papa John today.
Sure. WTFB, our favorite Twitter follow.
Yeah, reported Papa John's a Utahan.
I'm not going to say this. I won't say that. This doesn't feel forced at all. The enthusiasm about hockey is not manufactured. I know certainly on my part, and Jake, I don't think it's on your part either. I think you and I are both legitimately extremely excited to talk about it, have it here, cover it, our show is going to remain the same show.
Sure.
But to incorporate this and have it be a part of our identity is something that's going to be really fun, and I think everyone in Salt Lake's going to embrace it. Yep. Sweaty. Very sweaty.
All right, Hanson, Scotty G are coming up next. Ben and I will be back on Monday. We'll
More
see
hockey.
You then. Jake and Ben, 97.5,
Sarah.
KSL Sports Zone.